You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Y'all ready for the word? Awesome. I said awesome twice in the same sentence. Did y'all notice that? Hey, how you doing? You awesome? Are you ready for the word? Awesome. Awesome. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be studying in the book of Proverbs. Last week, we kicked off a series called A Little Bit of Wisdom, and you can catch up. We got a podcast on iTunes, the City Place Church audio podcast. What I'm going to do is I'm going to catch you up, but I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning of last week's message. And so I'm just going to get started. Ladies, all the ladies in the house, say, hey, hey. That was like 75% of y'all. All the ladies in the house, how about this? Go, hey. Okay. That was awesome. So I did that on purpose. I threw in the awesome on purpose. Ladies, this Friday night right here, we're going to have a time just for you. Taisha is going to be, and some of the other ladies are going to just be speaking life into you. And it's kind of leading into what we're going to be doing on Sunday morning. And so if you can, this Friday night at 7 o'clock, be here. It's going to be special. Here's the way that I would love for you to do it. On that connection card that you have on your seat inside of your worship guide, just fill out your name, your email, and in that box along where it says prayer requests and questions, put your prayer requests in there, but also just write in there, ladies' night. That way, we can be expecting you, plan for you, and serve you well when you come. It's going to be a really special evening. I'm excited to just be able to support all of the ladies during this night. So it's going to be fun. I feel like preaching a little bit. Is that okay? Awesome. Now, if this is your first time here, my name is Damon. My wife introduced herself. We are the lead pastors of City Place Church. And I just believe that God wants to say something to us this morning. And I encourage people when they come for the very first time, I am going to be passionate, but I am not angry. Okay? I'm passionate. I'm not angry. But I feel like service is enjoyable if you talk back, even if it's just like, I'll take it as an amen. But you can say amen. You can say, ouch. You can say, preach that. Come on. I'm with you. And the ride will be fun. You know what I'm saying? So I tell everybody, if you go to an amusement park, I very rarely have I seen people just sit on a roller coaster like this. You know why? Because everyone is waiting for that camera moment. When they come around, even if they're like this, when the camera's about to come, they go like this. We all do it. Even if you just give me this today, I'll use that and preach for 5 minutes just on that alone. So we're going to have a little bit of fun. The whole context of last week's kicking off this series last week was we wanted to push deeper into our knowledge of who God really is. And we're leaning on the focus of we just need a little bit of wisdom. And I started last week by saying all of us need three things. We need to be known, loved, and challenged. We need to be known, loved, and challenged. And if any of those things are void in our life, we either become works-oriented, we become discouraged, or we become easily offended. Okay? If any one of those things are missing, the behavioral characteristics of our life can be tapped into or can be, we can go back to the element of being known, loved, or challenged that's missing. That was last week. We piggybacked off of the three things that we all need, and we described four types of people that's found in the book of Proverbs. Now, we are all on the same page because I'm going to preach us through this again. Now, inside of that worship guide, you should find some sermon notes. The reason why we have some sermon notes is because preaching on the weekend is good for 30 minutes. What do we do when we go home? We have so many different resources in our life. We have a podcast every day. We have preachers that we all love to hear. And we can get so much information, and we really never retain anything. So we find our favorite preachers. We listen to this podcast. But if we don't dive deep into the word, really what we have is we have the person that we listens to relationship with God. Are you with me? And we don't ever have a relationship with God. And so we get empty really quick and we need another word from God. We get filled up and then we get empty real quick because we don't go deeper. So the reason why we have sermon notes is so that you can go deeper when you don't see me. Amen? Proverbs 4:7 says this. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs everything you have, get understanding. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for that person. So Proverbs 4 says you need to get wisdom and you need to get it quick. Proverbs 26 says if you try to be wise in your own eyes, you're a fool. The Bible don't mess around, huh? The Bible don't mess around. Four types of people found in the book of Proverbs. Number one, the simple person. Proverbs 7:7 says, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. I saw amongst hanging out all of the people, someone who hadn't matured yet. That's the first type of person. Someone who hasn't matured yet in age and in wisdom. Some of us can be older in age, but lacking wisdom. How bad would it be to be getting older and haven't learned the lessons of life yet? Are you with me? I'm just tuning up, by the way. The cure for being simple is time. Time. I mature over time. The second type of person is the fool. Proverbs 10:23 says, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. The fool says, you know what? Let me try to get to this the easy way. Or let me try to climb on X person's shoulders. Let me try to get to where I need to get to and not worry about them. The fool, the Bible says, tries to be cunning, crafty, to get what they want. You know any fools? Don't look down your row. You might have called your spouse that. Here's the cure. Life-altering moments. I told a story of some family members last week that lived a crazy life. And it wasn't until tragedy and death or prison time that they decided that they were going to change their behavior. Sometimes when we do foolish things, life-altering moments can jar us back into attention. But sometimes even those moments don't get our attention. And the Bible says that these are just two of the four types of people. Here's the third type, the mocker. I'm catching you up, the mocker. Proverbs 9:7-8 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Have you ever tried to argue with someone who's a fool? I told this last week. I have a personality like, hey, if we need to address something, let's address it. And sometimes if you make me mad, you know what I mean? I want to say something. And I found that sometimes when I say something, I be getting so animated and I get so passionate. And then by the time you come around the corner, you're like, why is he acting like that? And you never knew that they started it. Because I'm acting crazy. And I'm acting the fool. And the Bible says that the mocker ends up laughing at you while you look real foolish. The mocker will also mock the things that you're believing God for. And so many times we tolerate them. They ask a lot of different questions. You really believe in God for that? And we keep them around because they may be family or maybe they were loyal in the past. And you're arguing with them over what you're believing God for. And the Bible's like, don't argue with them. You look silly arguing with them. Just one of the four types of people in the Bible. I don't know if you've ever been there. You've whispered your dream too soon to someone who can't handle your dream. They're not believing the way you're believing, so then they start speaking contrary to what you believe, and you're trying to argue with what you believe, and then you find yourself wondering if you really believe what you told them you believed. Because the Bible says you can't win. The cure for that person is God. If I was to use Paul as an example. Paul mocked a lot of Christians, and Paul's life didn't change until God opened up the heavens and was like, yo, fool, you've been doing the wrong thing. And Paul asked him, well, Lord, what? He says, man, you've been going contrary to what I have told people is true. God changed his life. Some of us need God encounters to nudge us in place. The fourth person is the wise person, and this is where we now go higher. Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to what they already know. Instruct someone who's wise, and they'll go higher. Teach somebody who already knows some things, and they will add more. By definition, wisdom is this: sound action or decisions based on your experience, your knowledge, or judgment. Sound wisdom is actions, decisions based on your experience, your knowledge, and judgment. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your power, your presence, and who you are. Change us. Let us go out here more confident, believing, knowing, walking out with victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. Go with me to Psalms 128, 1 through 6. Psalms 128, 1 through 6. This is going to be our platform for today. What you just got was just a little bit of last week rushed through. Psalms 128, 1 through 6 says this: blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone, everyone. No one is left out. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. When you are working 40 hours a week, happiness can be attached to that. You with me? I'm just pausing it down. You shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Let me break down Psalms 128. The foundation of success in life is the fear of the Lord. That's what Psalms 128 is talking about. But in order to grab hold of the fear of the Lord, which is, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, which is the beginning of wisdom, we have to understand what the fear of the Lord is. Remember, the whole focus of this series is to get us knowing more about who God really is. We want the knowledge of God, so that if we gain the knowledge of God, then I can get the blessing of God. Are you with me? If I walk out in my own knowledge, I will be limited and I will be lacking based on what God wants to get to me. Are you here? The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs chapter 9. Psalms 128 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. When you work, you will be happy. When you go throughout your house, there will be happiness. There will be blessing. Even down to your children's children, you can expect to see them because the foundation of your life was the fear of the Lord. Now, in order to understand the fear of the Lord, we have to understand what the fear of the Lord is. The word, when we talk about fearing God, there is a collision between the fear that we know and the fear that we may not understand. He is God. Don't play around with him. He is him. He is him. He is God. You can't toy around with him. There's nobody like him. So you have to have that he is God. Yes, he is. Because the Bible says that when he responds to your enemy, they fear him. Meaning that when he walks on the scene, there is trembling. There is nervous energy because they fear God. Are you with me? So that's part one. But then on the second aspect of fearing God, there is also the aspect of who he is. He is to be honored. He is to be reverenced. We are to stand in awe of him based on what he has done for you and his attributes and his faithfulness in the past. Are you with me? So the two worlds collide. There is the fear and the trembling of what God can do to your enemy. Are you with me? And then there is the fear and the honor that comes, the reverence that comes for what he's done for you. Are you with me? These two collide. These two collide, and we sit in the place of honor and reverence to God. That's where we sit. Are you with me? To fear God is to put him in first place. That's it. So if I fear God and if I put him in a place of reverence and I put him in a place of honor, that means I can't sit in that seat with him. Are you with me? Watch now. If I choose to fear God, the fear and the trembling, he will handle my enemy. The honor and the reverence for what he's already done based on his track record. If I choose to honor and reverence him and put him at the top, I cannot share the seat with him. Are you with me? Okay, I'm trying to land there because what happens so many times is we can hear, fear the Lord, and what we'll do is we'll honor God until the seat that we enjoy leading, we don't want him to sit in. Y'all okay? Talk back. Let me know that we all here together. I sit in a seat of things that I know I can do with God's help, without his help. Are you with me? I know, can I just be a little humble and prideful at the same time? Watch this. I know that I can get up on a Sunday and preach without him. I've been in church long enough to know that I can get up here without the presence of God and stand here and quote scripture. I can do it. And you all would never know. Why? Because I can hide it behind the gifts and the personality that he gave me. I can raise my voice and I can be more passionate than what the text really requires. And it looks like I'm giving you everything. And I haven't said a thing in what I just said to you. But I would make the mistake of stepping on this stage if I didn't come in here and say, Jesus, this church is all about you. Why? Because in order for us to experience the life change that's required, he has to be first in this house. Otherwise, I'm just doing my own thing. That's the reason why I told you, I was tired this morning when I walked in here. And Jesus was like, you need to get your butt out the way and you better praise me like nobody's business. Reason why is because if your butt's in the way, nobody's lives get changed. They've wasted their time. They came here needing to hear something from me, and your behind got in the way. Move out the way. Is it okay if I just preach to me? Like, I'm telling you me so that y'all can know how he kicks my behind. See, when you put him in a position of reverence, your behind gets out the way. That has to happen on everything. The way you respond to your spouse, the way you respond to your friends, the way you tithe and you give, the way you serve in your church, the way you serve on the office, the way you and I live a lot of our life sitting in the main chair. We justify it based on the response of somebody else. We justify it based on how much money we give, how much money we have. We justify it on the time that we have. We justify it on who we married. We justify it on someone else's relationship. We justify it. And what happens is we sit in a seat and God's like, okay. And we go, God, we love you. God, we honor you. And he's like, well, no, you love me in this area. You love me in this area, but you disrespect me like crazy in this area. And we're like, God, we love you. God, we honor you. God, I praise you. And he's like, well, you love me in this area. You praise me in this area, but you totally ignore me in this area. Y'all okay? To fear God means I recognize, watch, that I need to take you seriously. I have got to stop playing games with you because you are the one that handles my enemies and you are the one that's been faithful and has a track record of winning. Why would I decide to sit in the front seat when the Jesus that I served walked out of the grave the way you said it? Why would I control my money when you said that you will provide all I need according to your riches in glory? Why would I try to manipulate relationships when even the relationships you had, you poured into. And you said, increase my kingdom. Why would I have less faith when you said that you've given me all that I need? Why would we sit in his seat? It's because so many times, and I'm guilty of it. I am. I'm guilty of not really viewing the fear of the Lord as the foundation that I should be building upon. If I go with the fear of the Lord, I start with God, this is who you are in my life, in every aspect of my life, my family, my kids, they all belong to you. I need your wisdom on how to be a good husband. I need your wisdom on how to be a good father. I need a wisdom on how to be a great man. I need the wisdom on how to be a great pastor. I need the wisdom of God to be a great friend. I need the wisdom in my finances. I need the wisdom in my influence. Why wouldn't I give him everything? That's just a question. See, the fear of God is to reverence and honor God. There's a blank there on your notes. But the fear of God is to also take him seriously. At some point, we have got to take him seriously. If he promised it, we have got to give him a chance to do it. If he said it, we have got to not have an expiration date on his promise. If it's available, we've got to reach for it and see if it doesn't work for us. At some point, we'll have to take the man seriously, until death do we part. Because it was unto death. It was until death that he did it. Why would I try to leave early when he didn't? And it wasn't even to death did he part. Because he got out of the grave. Which meant that the relationship didn't end there, but it began. Because he needed to have an encounter with you. And you. And you. And you. And you. He could have said, you know what? This is the time I'm living. I'm done. I'm going to win everybody during this period of time. No. But he said, I'm going to be so amazing to everybody that I'll stand past time. The fear of the Lord. It's the tremble, yes. It's the honor and the reverence, but the fear of the Lord is to take him seriously. I wonder if you and I could leave here today taking him seriously and playing no more games. Can I be real with you? Why don't we not play any more games with what we watch on TV? Some of us allow so many things into our life, and I'm not picking at you. I'm not telling you your own conviction level, but we all know what impacts our thoughts. We all know what impacts our life, and we allow it because that's the chair I'm sitting in. What if we allow God to sit at the budget table when we're making our financial decisions? What if we put God first and just let it go? What if we tithe and we gave and we said, it's yours. I need to honor you here. What if we allowed what we hear to be predicated by what he says first? Before I got the advice from my friend, what if I just paused a little bit and said, God, why don't you be in the first seat in this? I normally reach out for my friend. I normally do this here. But what if you became the primary voice in my life? What if God was in between you and your spouse as you prayed? I'm just throwing out some questions, y'all. I don't want to make nobody mad. But I do want to deliver what I've already been carrying this week, that I walked in here fatigued. I'm tired. Get your behind out the way. Put me in first place so that we can all leave change, Damon. What if we went all in? Like for real. What if we go all in and just say, God, if you died for me, then I'm willing to go the distance for you. Everything that is mine actually isn't. It's yours. What do you see? Because the minute I put him in honor is the minute the Bible says in Psalms 128. Everything that you do at work, you'll be happy. You know, the job that we go to sometimes and we're like, I can't stand this place. What if we said the job is yours? And next thing you know, you go into your job and you're like, I don't know why I like this place. Because for the last 10 years, I didn't like this place. I like the check, but I ain't like this place. I wonder what would happen if we said, let's change the order. God, be glorified in this stressful environment. I wonder if either his word is true or it's not. But if he said it, why don't we give it a shot? Like, I mean, for real, what if we say, God, I'm working in this environment. Make me happy because I'm going to put you in the first chair. Change my perspective, change my lens because you're in the first seat now. That's just a thought, y'all. Here, write this down. If I'm going to fear God, I'm putting him in position. I'm going to take him seriously. If I'm going to take him seriously, I have to realize that God is awesome because he's the Lord. That's the reason why. God is awesome because he's Lord. God is awesome because he's Lord. Now, I don't mean awesome like I said awesome. Notice I set y'all up earlier. He's awesome. 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 I don't mean awesome as a catchphrase. No. I mean, whoa, let me stand back. Because the things that I see this man do blows my mind. I don't have a word to describe it. I'm at awe. Watch what the Psalm says. Psalms 33 says, verse 8. He says, let the whole world fear the Lord. And let everyone stand in awe of him. Here's a question that I have. Has there been a moment in your life where you recognize God's hand? Has there been a moment? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to go back to that moment or the last moment he did it. And I want you to remember the feeling that you had when he did it. And I want you to ask God to give you that feeling every day. Because every day, and I say this until it goes out of style. Every day we take a deep breath. What's minimal to us is major to the baby in the neonatal unit. While the moms and the dads are rubbing the hands, watching the chest rise, praying that it continues to rise, we take that for granted. But every time the baby's chest rises a little bit more and the baby adds a little bit more weight, mom and dad get a little bit more excited because they see their baby getting healthy and they can't wait to tell the baby the miracle that happened and how they went from A to Z. Every single day, our chest rises. But you know what we can do? We can overlook it. That is the awesomeness of God every day in our life. This week, I want you to find the thing that God's done and say, yeah, you're awesome. See, the reason why God is awesome because he's Lord. It's because when we identify what he's done, he shifts from being the spiritual being God and it becomes personal. That's what Lord is. You are the one true God. That's what the word Lord means. You are the one true God. And in biblical days, the way that they defined God as Lord was based on what he had done for them. So healer. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the Lord, my provider. You are the Lord, my peace. So everything that God's done for you, when you fear the Lord, you are fearing the one who has proven himself over time. You see what I'm saying? So you're not fearing the Lord that is just from Damon's experience. You're fearing the Lord based on the experience that you have with him that no one can take away. Here's the second thing. God is holy. God is holy. No matter what people may say outside of the kingdom of God, God is holy. There's nobody like him. Like he is holy. He's all himself. Psalm 99 verse 5 says this, exalt the Lord our God. bow low before his feet, for he is holy. Hebrews 12, 28, 29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Romans 12, this is not in your notes, but I wrote this down. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, watch now, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, anything that doesn't want God in it. Are you with me? Anything that doesn't want God in it, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, listen, God is holy. Put him in the first chair. That's what Romans is talking about. Put God in the first chair. And the way you do it, give him all of you. Don't hold nothing back. Everything that you are, all of your dreams, all of your resources, say, God, here you go. And the writer in Romans says, that's the least you can do. That's easy. That's the least you can do is say, you know what? You have all of me. That's the least you can do. Present yourself to a holy God as, God, this is what you deserve. Here's the third thing, and we're wrapping up. Number three is, God is right. He's not wrong. He is right. Like, I know we might think he's wrong. He's not. He's right. He's right. He's got all of his plans designed, laid out for you and I. When I tap into the fear of the Lord and I rest in his presence, I find out everything that he wants to deliver. Here's what Psalm says. Psalms 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Look, y'all, if we lean into the Lord, he's given us so many different things. We want joy. It says, just lean into him. Realize that the man's right. Like, he's not lying to you. It says, and you'll walk away with joy. He says, it gives joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord, watch now, is pure, endures forever. When you give God everything, when you put him in the first chair, Psalm says, you don't have to worry. All of his actions, all of his response is from a pure place. You just allow him to sit in the first chair. So here's just a little bit of wisdom here as we wrap up. A little bit of wisdom, number one and two. The key to fearing God is alignment. The key to fearing God is alignment. God, you're the head. Got it. You're in first place. You know what? You take control. You lead me. You guide me. You speak, I follow. I can't be in first place and you be in first place as well. So you know what? I'd rather you take the lead. I'll follow you. The second thing is that when I am aligned, you can write this down, when I am aligned in the fear of the Lord, the blessings of God are unlocked. When I am aligned in the fear of the Lord, the blessings of God are unlocked. Last time, when I am aligned in the fear of the Lord, the blessings of God are unlocked. Isaiah 33:6 says, an abundance of salvation is stored up for Judah in a safe place, along with wisdom and knowledge and reverence for the Lord. The New King James says that salvation and wisdom and knowledge are held up by God, and that the fear of the Lord is a treasure. When you get to the fear of the Lord and you can align yourself, God, you are first. I reverence you. I honor you. I stand in awe. You are holy. You are right. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord begins to unlock the blessings of God in your life. Which brings me back to Psalms 128. It says that the work of your hands will be blessed. It says that your family will be blessed. It says that your spouse will be blessed. And it says that your children will be blessed because of verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and, who walks in his ways. Blessed is everyone who stays aligned. Blessed is everyone who says, I'm going to follow what you have to say.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.